Lakers lose to the Sixers, 109-101 the final score, 28-17 on the season. Lakers certainly struggling without their stars. They've lost four games in a row. Now sitting in fourth place in the Western Conference, Denver and Portland right on their heels, just a game and a half behind the Lakers. So obviously shows the position that the Lakers are in right now. We got a lot to get into in this post-game show. We'll obviously spend a lot of time on this game, and we'll also talk about what the day was, no trades for the Lakers, how important the buyout market's going to be for the Lake Show as well. So all of that, 877-710-ESPN, if you want to be a part of the show. You could also hit me on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa. Who would have thought coming into this game that, and I put out a video right as Dwight Howard and Danny Green were getting their rings. It was kind of good vibes, you know. You felt good for them. Two guys that certainly had such impactful roles on this Lakers team. And I know there were times, Laker fans especially, there were times where there was a lot of frustration when Danny Green doesn't hit his shot consistent enough. And he ends up, you know, obviously part of a trade. He eventually gets to Philadelphia. Dwight Howard gets to Philadelphia. Coming into tonight's game, if you'd have told me Ben Simmons had 28 points, I get it. If you'd have told me Tobias Harris was going to put up 28 points tonight, completely understand. But if you'd have told me Danny Green would have hit 8 threes, 9 of 14 from the field, he only had one field goal outside the three-point line or inside the three-point line, and ends up with 28 points. And here we are sitting in the post-game show talking about Danny Green being the difference of the Lakers winning this game and not snapping that losing streak that they've been in. Definitely did not think that was going to be the case. He was obviously incredibly impactful for the Sixers, and unfortunately for the Lakers, it hands them another loss. Let me start off with Robert out in Venice. Robert, appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. I appreciate your time. You know, I think Rob Pelinka is not getting enough heat, because if you look at the three players we're missing from last year's run, Danny Green, Rondo, and Dwight, can you not say there's three Lakers players that you would give up for those three? Now, Wes Matthews, disappointment. Marcus Gasol, obviously not the same inside presence that Dwight was. But think about this. Green, Rondo, and Dwight. If that was our three at the trade deadline, we'd all be clapping and screaming. Am I wrong here, Alex? I mean, tell me.
Appreciate you calling in. Thank you for calling in. First of all, let me say this. It's easy right now to kick the Lakers when they're down, and it's easy to do it when LeBron James and Anthony Davis are out. So, yeah, you can say that at the moment because LeBron James and Anthony Davis aren't playing. But if when the Lakers won four games in a row after the All-Star break, I don't know if I'm getting the same call. I'm probably not getting the same call. The Dwight Howard one, I understand. I think there's a lot of Laker fans that would say, rim protector, we needed a rim protector. Why didn't we get a rim protector? Why not bring Dwight back? That one, I think that's a completely fair one. But I heard a lot of Laker fans complaining about Danny Green last season. And remember how you got Danny Green. You got Danny Green through you got Dennis Schroeder because of Danny Green. I'd rather have Dennis Schroeder over Danny Green. The Wesley Matthews signing has not worked out. There's no reason to try and sugarcoat that. To this point, he has not been as consistent as we hoped he would be. I thought we were getting Wesley Matthews, which was a comp to Danny Green, but you were getting him at a fifth of the price. So that's the way that I look at that. This buyout market's going to be big for the Lakers. You know what else is going to be big? Getting LeBron James and Anthony Davis back. But because that's further on down the road, and I think it's going to be a little bit of time until, you know, that obviously happens, I'm going to just focus on the buyout market for a quick second. Lakers did not make a trade, obviously, by the noon deadline. And it sounded like for a second there that they might be in a position to do something. There were a few different moments this morning that I thought, I think Kyle Lowry is going to be a Laker. And for that brief second, you saw Victor Oladipo go to the Miami Heat. You thought, okay, maybe now it's just Lakers and the Raptors are negotiating. That deal doesn't go down. The buyout market is where I thought, that's why I thought Rob Pelinka excelled last season to fill in holes that we had. We got to find out what happens coming up to this buyout market and if Pelinka, you know, obviously pulls similar strings. And I'm going to give Pelinka, you know, obviously, let's let the buyout market work itself out. But nobody's in an easy position here when you lose LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Let me take a quick phone call here again. Let's go to Joe in the Inland Empire. Joe, appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, what's up, Alvin?
Hey, man.
Today was stressful. Today was very stressful for Laker fans. You know, the whole day we were hoping that, you know, we could swing some kind of trade today. I was just looking around the edges, like a Wayne Ellington or a Terrence Ross or Hassan Whiteside. Like, we got to, like, really step up our roster, because if we keep slipping, we're really about to slip out of contention of really being.
We miss you there. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you calling in. I got what you were saying. Basically, got to make some kind of move to stay where we're at, or just play even playing field. Michael was saying today he thought if the Lakers went 4-6 over their next 10 games, then it was 5-5 would be great. I'm with him on that. I mean, anything above 500 or at 500 at this point, obviously that would be a positive. Let me squeeze in one more quick call here. Scooter in L.A. What's going on, Scooter?
How you doing?
Doing okay, man. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, these last four games have been kind of brutal to watch, man. And it's funny, like, what difference a week or two make, because I can remember looking at what Utah, Phoenix, and the Clippers were doing, hoping that the Lakers would stay pace with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm looking at what Denver and Portland and Dallas and the rest of the lower West Division is doing, and hoping the Lakers could at least, you know, keep their head above water until LeBron and Anthony gets back.
Well, Scooter, I don't know if I have the answer to that, if they will be able to keep their head above water. I really don't. I appreciate you calling in. I was saying this, said this last couple of days. You know how exciting it was walking into Saturday's game against Atlanta? Lakers had won four in a row. Utah was playing 500 ball. Lakers now second place in the Western Conference. Like that, things can change, right? Just so quick, things can change. The one thing that I pay most attention to right now is, let's see how the rest of the roster rounds up. Lakers have two roster spots. Those roster spots are going to be key. And I'm very curious to see how, obviously Rob Pelinka, the Lakers front office, rounded up. Not just for the long playoff run, but for this next 30 days until you think you got that opportunity to be healthy. All right, when we come back, we'll take a listen to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. We'll get his thoughts on the Lakers' loss to the Philadelphia 76ers. Good battle. Third quarter killed the Lakers, obviously. Outscored by 18. It was tied at halftime. And then Lakers were down 18 by the time the fourth quarter started. Lakers would go down by 19, come all the way back, cut it down to 3. And Danny freaking Green, 28 points and 8 three-pointers for the Philadelphia 76ers. Lakers head coach Frank Vogel, when we come back. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll take more of your phone calls as well, 877-710-ESPN. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Throws it into Dwight, right into the basket, stolen by Wes Matthews. Gets it ahead to Caruso. Caruso to THT. Talen Horton-Tucker, bounce pass. Matthews, three-pointer by Wes is good, and the Lakers retake the lead, 24-23.
The defensive play of the game is brought to you by Adriana's Insurance. Win and save on your auto insurance, and only Adriana's Insurance can guarantee it. We give you more options, unique offers, and exclusive opportunities to get the coverage you need at the best price. Visit savewithadrianas.com today. Adriana's Insurance, more options, no contracts, just savings. Lakers lose 109-101. Tough loss for the Lakers. Nice comeback. Had some hope there at the end. I actually thought Lakers had a good chance to pull it out. The game did not come down to this, but the ref that called a foul on Dennis Schroeder on that defensive play, and then was, first of all, that was an awful call, and then so quick to blow the whistle and hit Dennis Schroeder with a technical foul. There's nothing worse than when you remember the referees after games rather than just remembering the players and situations that were happening in the game. Like I said, that's not the difference of the game. Lakers had opportunities, but critical situation like that, you hate to see a play like that. 109-101, the final score. I do want to take more of your guys' phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. I'm going to do that in just a little bit here, but let's hear from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Let's get his thoughts on the Lakers. 8-point loss to the Sixers. That's four losses in a row for the Lakers.
Hey, Frank, before I get to the fourth quarter, just wondered what was going through your mind after Shake Milton hits that three to close the third quarter, what the deficit was and all the turnovers and et cetera that had led to Philly building that lead.
Yeah, well, each of the last three or four games, we've had one really bad quarter, you know, and we're hoping to prevent that and play a 48-minute night. You know, the third quarter, you know, we just credit the defense. You know, they're great at forcing turnovers. We made some few poor decisions, but they made some good defensive plays that are in that stretch as well. And, you know, got going in transition. And then, you know, obviously the double team is trying to take the ball out of Tobias's hands mostly. You know, we got crossed up on a few of those and gave up threes as well. So just a tough stretch for us during that quarter. And, you know, we got to continue to try to put together 48 minutes.
And then as to that fourth quarter, Frank, obviously there was some desperation needed. But is that something that you feel like should be happening more, just given the fact LeBron and AD are out? Do you think that's something that can be called upon more and playing with that type of intensity?
Yeah, I don't think we played harder in the fourth quarter than the third. I think we played poorly in the third. You know, I think our team's fighting. They're scratching and clawing, giving great effort. You know, but like I said, we're just having a stretch where we make some poor decisions and miss some assignments on the defensive end. You know, so we just got to put it together for 48 minutes.
Okay, Bill Orme, please.
Hey, Frank. I was just wondering if you could tell us what you saw from Mark in his first game back and just how good it was to have him back on the floor after this prolonged absence.
Yeah, he was great. You know, I'm not even sure what his numbers, 1 for 2, but his impact comes in a lot of different ways. You know, the IQ defensively, you know, had a couple of great verticality plays at the rim to get us some stops. And, you know, it just gives us a different dynamic offensively to be able to play pass and cut offense more, you know, with him quarterback and some of that stuff. So a good return for him.
Will he play tomorrow night or will it still be on a minutes restriction? What's the plan?
We'll see how he feels tomorrow.
Sorry about that, Frank. Kyle Goon, please.
Hey, Frank. You know, I know you talked before about everybody kind of having to step up a little bit here and there to replace guys like LeBron and D, but in terms of, you know, vocal leadership or kind of pulling guys through maybe some of the rough quarters you've had, is there somebody that you feel like is more capable of sort of pulling the team, sort of filling the leadership void that you guys are missing without LeBron?
Yeah, we got to lead from every chair in the room. You know, everybody's got to play their part, and everybody, quite frankly, is. You know, guys are talking out coverages and talking about actions and offensive spacing and where they need to be. They're working together the right way. It's healthy. We're competing. Just falling short because of a couple different difficult stretches.
Okay, Dan Wojcicki.
Frank, it's probably kind of obvious, but is that sort of the lesson to the guys after these games, is that the margin for error is just so much more slim without AD and LeBron?
Yeah, that's, you know, yes, margin of error.
It's pretty obvious, I guess.
It's more slim.
Okay, we're going to go to Michael Duarte.
Yeah, Frank, I'm sure you're used to it, seeing what Danny Green was able to do, you know, for you a couple games when he gets hot. But when he gets hot like he did tonight, what can you do to stop him? I know some missed rotations left him with some open shots, but other than that, he was just on all night.
Yeah, there was a couple where it draped all over him. But when you're trying to slow down guys like Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris, we overcommitted and overhelped off on Ben's drives to the basket entirely too much. I think Danny got some of those. You know, some of those we're trying to take the ball out of Tobias Harris' hands, and that's what Danny's won championships doing, is making double teams pay. And you know, we just didn't get to him enough.
Okay, last two questions. We're gonna Claudia Gestro, please.
Hey, Frank, I know tonight was not a good night, but it looks like Kuzma is taking on a leadership role. How important will that be as you go forward?
Yeah, he's got a healthy spirit. You know, he really does. He's got a great mindset to come in and give maximum effort. Plays extremely hard on both sides of the ball. And, you know, the mental piece of it, you know, I do think has picked up in the absence of LeBron and AD, you know, trying like the rest of our guys, you know, to talk things out on the floor and figure out the game. You know, so he's doing a great job.
Thank you.
And last question, Davide, please.
Hey, Coach. What do you think is the most positive thing you see from your team tonight?
I think how we fought. You know, I think we got down in New Orleans two nights ago and let go of the rope a little bit in a, you know, 15-point lead, got up to 25, 28, whatever it was. I thought when we got down that margin tonight, we had the mindset to scratch and claw and not give up on the game and do whatever it takes to get back in it. You know, we gave ourselves a chance in the final minute. I think we got to cut it to three at one point. And, you know, I was proud of how our guys competed through that stretch.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel right there. I think one thing sticks out to me. He said that they're not having bad games. They're having a bad quarter. They had an awful third quarter tonight. Had a bad second quarter against the Pelicans. Not that the third quarter was that much better. They had a bad quarter against the Atlanta Hawks. That was the third quarter, so that was the first quarter without LBJ. Same thing with the Suns. I think it was the second quarter. It's so tough for this team to sustain something when you're so used to LeBron James carrying the load. I'm not even going to mention Anthony Davis anymore because AD has been out long enough to where – you know, I think we'd all agree when we were talking MVP, most valuable player, the conversation was always LeBron James. And LBJ was able to hide a lot of things. So LBJ would go out for 3-4 minutes, try to get, you know, a quick blow, some rest. And by the time he came back, it was Lakers would blow a 7-point lead or something along those lines. Now there's no margin for error. There is no – LeBron's gone, so – anytime that you're not playing good basketball, all of a sudden a team that it might be a close game, and next thing you know, you're down double digits. That happened to the Sixers tonight. Okay, we'll do a couple things when we come back. 109-101, the final score over the Sixers. We'll take a couple phone calls. We'll get a chance to hear from Montrezl Harrell as well. This is the PTOT Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Lakers lose 109-101 to the Sixers. Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint. Right now, local residents can take 40% off on factory direct high quality Vista Paint products. A Vista Paint team member will show you how. Locally owned, manufactured, and operated since 1956. Vista Paint. I'm going to squeeze in a couple quick calls, but let me read off this tweet real quick from Chris Haynes. So Chris Haynes sent out a tweet from Yahoo Sports. Says Yahoo sources, LaMarcus Aldridge will have conversations with the Miami Heat, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Los Angeles Clippers, and Brooklyn Nets before deciding on his next destination. Haynes, a couple minutes later, Yahoo sources, Andre Drummond will listen to pitches from the New York Knicks, Los Angeles Lakers, Los Angeles Clippers, Boston Celtics, and Charlotte Hornets. You know, I think the buyout market is obviously something that every Laker fan, your attention just completely shifts to. By the way, even if Lakers made a trade earlier today, you would still be paying attention to the buyout market, specifically because one name that's been thrown around for the last 30 days has been Andre Drummond. This will be interesting. It really will. If Lakers can land Andre Drummond and then can figure out some type of other player, a 3-and-D guy, something along those lines, or some type of a shooter that's available as well, we all might be sitting here, hopefully sooner than later, talking about how, okay, we didn't make a trade. We didn't give up a ton of assets, but then we ended up with influential players that can help determine whether Lakers win a championship or not and keep the Lakers above water. Or we could be sitting here saying that the Lakers made no changes and now you just got to wait for LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So we'll see what happens on that front. But that's a couple tweets there from Chris Haynes, some updates on Andre Drummond and LaMarcus Aldridge. Yared in Burbank, thank you for calling in. You're on the PTOT Lakers postgame show. Go ahead.
How's it going, man? Big fan. I just want to quickly say, just to Laker fans, that I think we need to just calm down a little bit. I think the one player that we all agree on is Drummond. I feel like that could come in the future. But just like last year, everyone was talking about KCP and his struggles, but he turned out being one of the most important players in the playoffs and the finals. And I just feel like with Schroeder, with Trez, playing with LeBron is just turns players, you know, into producing their best play. And I feel like with this group, we just need to stick with it, stick, you know, stick together within this time while everyone's out. And I feel like once the playoffs hit, we'll be ready.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling in, man. Thank you for calling in. Let me get one more call in here. How about Quincy in L.A.? What's going on, Quincy?
What's good? What's good?
Thank you, man. Appreciate you calling in.
Listen, Alan, I'm positive. You know, I like this because at the end of the day, who's going to guard LeBron and AD in a seven-game set? You know, I feel bad for Utah. If the Lakers go to eighth seed, the Jazz went to first place to play the Lakers. You know, that's tough for Utah.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine that's your gift of being the number one seed?
They did all that work just to get blown out. You know.
You know, Quincy, I'll say this, and I appreciate you calling in. What it comes down to now is it's very simple. Just staying at par before LeBron and AD come back. We're supposed to get an update on Anthony Davis, I think, tomorrow. That'll be 2 weeks. Timeline, they said that he'll be reevaluated. That doesn't mean AD's coming back anytime soon. But now it honestly just comes down to how many games are you going to lose between now and the time that those two players come back? And that's not a knock on anybody. This is no franchise is built to withstand two of the best players in the NBA being out at the same time for 30 days or 6 weeks or whatever the case is. So I think with all that being said, I agree with you that, yes, just get in the playoffs. Problem is the playoffs is so far away. It seems so distant away because LeBron and AD are not healthy. Okay, Montrezl Harrell on the Lakers' 8-point loss. Montrez, by the way, he had a nice game, and he continues to play well. 20 points, 8 rebounds, 8 of 13 from the field. Single-handedly got Dwight thrown out of the game. Here's Montrezl Harrell.
Was there something that you saw in that fourth quarter comeback where it appeared you guys were playing more desperate, more kind of back against the wall that you thought could have come out earlier in this game?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, all those things that you just said. Played, you know, desperation type basketball. We played with pace. We flew around on the defensive end of the floor, made rotations, just tried to cause a lot of havoc on the defensive end of the floor. And then on the offensive end of the floor, we were just swinging the ball all around, man. Just tried to keep the ball, keep hopping left and right, making them make extra rotations, man. And, you know, guys started to make shots. The third quarter definitely hurt us a lot. They hit, you know, 4 or 5 threes, which caused them to get on that big run and then take that league up to where they did, you know, and we can't have those lapses, you know. But, you know, every game, man, we seem to, you know, be right there, and we always had that lapse, you know, one of these quarters, man. So we just got to, you know, find a way to just take that out of the game.
I'm sure you'll have to go back and look at some of the film on it, but did you notice during that third quarter what was happening with some of the missed rotations for the open threes and then also just the turnovers, right? I think there were 9 turnovers in that third quarter that led to Philly points.
Honestly, just trying to, you know, I think a lot of those was trying to make the right play, fitting in the small spaces. And, you know, this team is real big, you know, in the league and defense and in the floor. I think they're like 3 or 4, or, you know, that might be 2, if I'm not mistaken, from what we saw in film earlier this morning, man. But they were real active on their hands and definitely got a lot of strips. And, you know, really, that's what it was. I think we were trying to make the right play instead of just letting things develop, trying to fit in the small spaces, small windows, and that was coming up with a lot of strips, you know. And, you know, once they got out on the run, you know, they hit threes, guys spilled the lane. So, you know, that kind of put us in a hole. But at the end of the day, man, I love how we fought and just how we, you know, kept competing and fought our way to the end.
Okay, Kyle Goo next, please.
Trez, and I'm sure you played on trade deadline day plenty of times, but is there any sort of – did you sense any sort of tension or any just weirdness from shoot around this morning? And what does it tell you when, you know, the front office doesn't really make any moves at all and it's like, hey, this is the team we want. This is the team we're going to go forward with.
To be honest with you, as far as the whole trade deadline, man, I don't really pay too much any attention. I mean, guys, you see the tweets and the different notifications come across the TV and the ticker and things like that. But as far as the player, man, we really don't have much we can really do about the situation, man. It's more so, you know, talks throughout the team and your agent and, you know, kind of pieces that the team want to move, man. You don't really have too much of a say until basically it kind of comes out. So, you know, I don't really kind of wrap myself up around any of those type of things. I don't kind of get into it, man. I got a great, you know, agency with Clutch and Rich Paul. So, you know, I'll leave that in their hands. And, you know, I'm just trying to take care of what I can take care of out here on the court.
Hey, Dave McManaman, please.
Hey, Trez, what was going on between you and Dwight out there in the first quarter? Was that just competitive fire between you two? Was there any bad blood? And what did you think of him getting run from the game?
I don't know, honestly. I don't even really care, to be real with you. I was playing basketball, man, and, you know, I Doc is an old coach of mine, so is Sam, man, and, you know, when I'm talking to the coaches and if they feel like, you know, some of the things you're doing aren't basketball plays, man, then it is what it is, man, but, you know, I'm not backing out from nobody, man. I don't take that lightly. I don't take, you know, none of that disrespect. You know, you're not going to, you know, push me all around on the court and just feel like you're just going to big boy me and just, you know, have your way with me. No, it don't fly with me. It's not in my blood and it'll never be in my blood. You know, I don't care what nobody feels about it. I don't care who don't like me. It is what it is, man. Like, that's just what it is. So that's how I feel about that situation. And, you know, that's where it's going to stay.
Thanks, Trez.
All right, that's Montrezl Harrell right there. Again, fired up just listening to Montrez. You know, he had Dwight had two technical fouls. I don't know what Dwight was doing, to be honest with you. Just watching as smart of a player Dwight Howard is, as important as he is, especially with Joel Embiid out, he basically got himself completely tossed out of the game for no reason at all. Him and Trez were going back and forth. But still not enough for the Lakers. They still lose to the Philadelphia 76ers. Okay, let's do this when we come back. I know we still got a few people that want to chat about this Lakers loss. I'll take some phone calls when we come back. A couple of interesting quotes I want to read. There was a couple good quotes from Dennis Schroeder, another good quote from KCP, and then we'll also get a chance to hear from Marc Gasol. Gasol's been gone. Gasol talks about his, you know, obviously going through COVID-19 and what that journey's been like. Plus, we will get a chance to just react a little bit to all the deals that went down in the NBA earlier today. Lakers lose to the Sixers 109-101. Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Lakers lose 109-101 to the Sixers. Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint. Right now, local residents can take 40% off on factory direct high quality Vista Paint products. A Vista Paint team member will show you how. Locally owned, manufactured, and operated since 1956. Vista Paint. I'm going to squeeze in a couple quick calls, but let me read off this tweet real quick from Chris Haynes. So Chris Haynes sent out a tweet from Yahoo Sports. Says Yahoo sources, LaMarcus Aldridge will have conversations with the Miami Heat, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Los Angeles Clippers, and Brooklyn Nets before deciding on his next destination. Haynes, a couple minutes later, Yahoo sources, Andre Drummond will listen to pitches from the New York Knicks, Los Angeles Lakers, Los Angeles Clippers, Boston Celtics, and Charlotte Hornets. You know, I think the buyout market is obviously something that every Laker fan, your attention just completely shifts to. By the way, even if Lakers made a trade earlier today, you would still be paying attention to the buyout market, specifically because one name that's been thrown around for the last 30 days has been Andre Drummond. This will be interesting. It really will. If Lakers can land Andre Drummond and then can figure out some type of other player, a 3-and-D guy, something along those lines, or some type of a shooter that's available as well, we all might be sitting here, hopefully sooner than later, talking about how, okay, we didn't make a trade, we didn't give up a ton of assets, but then we ended up with influential players that can help determine whether Lakers win a championship or not and keep the Lakers above water. Or we could be sitting here saying that the Lakers made no changes, and now you just got to wait for LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So we'll see what happens on that front. But that's a couple tweets there from Chris Haynes, some updates on Andre Drummond and LaMarcus Aldridge. Yared in Burbank, thank you for calling in. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Go ahead.
How's it going, man? Big fan. I just want to quickly say just to Laker fans that I think we need to just calm down a little bit. I think the one player that we all agree on is Drummond. I feel like that could come in the future. But just like last year, everyone was talking about KCP and his struggles, but he turned out being one of the most important players in the playoffs and the finals. And I just feel like with Schroeder, with Trez, playing with LeBron is just turns players, you know, into producing their best play. And I feel like with this group, we just need to stick with it, stick together within this time while everyone's out. And I feel like once the playoffs hit, we'll be ready.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling in, man. Thank you for calling in. Let me get one more call in here. How about Quincy in L.A.? What's going on, Quincy?
What's good? What's good?
Thank you, man. Appreciate you calling in.
Listen, Alan, I'm positive. You know, I like this. Because at the end of the day, who's going to guard LeBron and AD in a seven-game set? You know, I feel bad for Utah. If the Lakers go to eighth seed, the Jazz went to first place to play the Lakers, you know, that's tough for Utah.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine that's your gift of being the number one seed?
Maybe all that work just to get, like, blown out, you know.
You know, Quincy, I'll say this, and I appreciate you calling in. What it comes down to now is it's very simple. Just staying at par before LeBron and AD come back. We're supposed to get an update on Anthony Davis, I think, tomorrow. That'll be 2 weeks. Timeline, they said that he'll be reevaluated. That doesn't mean AD's coming back anytime soon. But now it honestly just comes down to how many games are you going to lose between now and the time that those two players come back? And that's not a knock on anybody. This is no franchise is built to withstand two of the best players in the NBA being out at the same time for 30 days or 6 weeks or whatever the case is. So I think with all that being said, I agree with you that, yes, just get in the playoffs. Problem is the playoffs is so far away. It seems so distant away because LeBron and AD are not healthy. Okay, Montrezl Harrell on the Lakers' 8-point loss. Montrez, by the way, he had a nice game, and he continues to play well. 20 points, 8 rebounds, 8 of 13 from the field. Single-handedly got Dwight thrown out of the game. Here's Montrezl Harrell.
Was there something that you saw in that fourth quarter comeback where it appeared you guys were playing more desperate, more kind of back against the wall that you thought could have come out earlier in this game?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, all those things that you just said. Play, you know, desperation type basketball. We play with pace. We flew around on the defensive end of the floor, made rotations, just tried to cause a lot of havoc on the defensive end of the floor. And then on the offensive end of the floor, we just swinging the ball all around, man. Just tried to keep the ball, keep hopping left and right, making them make extra rotations, man. And, you know, guys started to make shots. The third quarter definitely hurt us a lot. They hit, you know, 4 or 5 threes, which caused them to get on that big run and then take that league up to where they did, you know, and we can't have those lapses, you know, but, you know, every game, man, we seem to, you know, be right there, and we always had that lapse in, you know, one of these quarters, man. So we just got to, you know, find a way to just take that out of the game.
I'm sure you'll have to go back and look at some of the film on it, but did you notice during that third quarter what was happening with some of the missed rotations for the open threes and then also just the turnovers, right? I think there were 9 turnovers in that third quarter that led to Philly points.
Honestly, just trying to, you know, I think a lot of those was trying to make the right play, fitting in the small spaces. And, you know, this team is real big, you know, in the league and defense and in the floor. I think they're like 3 or 4, or, you know, that might be 2, if I'm not mistaken, from what we saw in film earlier this morning, man. But they were real active on their hands and definitely got a lot of strips. And, you know, really, that's what it was. I think we were trying to make the right play instead of just letting the things develop, trying to fit in the small spaces, small windows, and that was coming up with a lot of strips, you know. And, you know, once they got out on the run, you know, they hit threes, guys split the lane. So, you know, that kind of put us in a hole. But at the end of the day, man, I love how we fought and just how we, you know, kept competing and fought our way to the end.
Okay, Kyle Goon next, please.
Trez, and I'm sure you played on trade deadline day plenty of times, but is there any sort of – did you sense any sort of tension or any just weirdness from shoot around this morning? And what does it tell you when, you know, the front office doesn't really make any moves at all and it's like, hey, this is the team we want. This is the team we're going to go forward with?
To be honest with you, as far as the whole trade deadline, man, I don't really pay too much any attention. I mean, guys, you see the tweets and the different notifications come across the TV and the ticker and things like that. But as far as the player, man, we really don't have much we can really do about the situation, man. It's more so, you know, talks about the team and your agent and, you know, kind of pieces that the team want to move, man. You don't really have too much of a say until basically it kind of comes out. So, you know, I don't really kind of wrap myself up around any of those type of things. I don't kind of get into it, man. I got a great, you know, agency with Clutch and Rich Paul. So, you know, I'll leave that in their hands. And, you know, I'm just trying to take care of what I can take care of out here on the court.
Hey, Dave McMenamin, please.
Hey, Trez, what was going on between you and Dwight out there in the first quarter? Was that just competitive fire between you two? Was there any bad blood? And what did you think of him getting run from the game?
I don't know, honestly. I don't even really care, to be real with you. I was playing basketball, man, and, you know, Doc is an old coach of mine, so is Sam, man. And, you know, when I'm talking to the coaches, and if they feel like, you know, some of the things you're doing aren't basketball plays, man, then it is what it is, man. But, you know, I'm not backing out from nobody, man. I don't take that lightly. I don't take, you know, none of that disrespect. You know, you're not going to, you know, push me all around on the court and just feel like you're just going to big boy me and just, you know, have your way with me. No, it don't fly with me. It's not in my blood and it'll never be in my blood. You know, I don't care what nobody feels about it. I don't care who don't like me. It is what it is, man. Like, that's just what it is. So that's how I feel about that situation. And, you know, that's where it's going to stay.
Thanks, Trez.
All right, that's Montrezl Hale right there. Again, fired up just listening to Montrez. You know, he had Dwight had two technical fouls. I don't know what Dwight was doing, to be honest with you. Just watching as smart of a player Dwight Howard is, as important as he is, especially with Joel Embiid out, he basically got himself completely tossed out of the game for no reason at all. Him and Trez were going back and forth, but still not enough for the Lakers. They still lose to the Philadelphia 76ers. Okay, let's do this when we come back. I know we still got a few people that want to chat about this Lakers loss. I'll take some phone calls as we come back. A couple of interesting quotes I want to read. There was a couple of good quotes from Dennis Schroeder, another good quote from KCP, and then we'll also get a chance to hear from Marc Gasol. Gasol's been gone. Gasol talks about his, you know, obviously going through COVID-19 and what that journey has been like. Plus, we will get a chance to just react a little bit to all the deals that went down in the NBA earlier today. Lakers lose to the Sixers 109-101. Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.